You're listening to IndieNation TechNet News and Opinion. News that matters to you, news with listener participation.
We have roughly a half hour left, Brian. How about we do just I think we can talk about smart cars.
Yeah, we've got a decent number of stories here that are all kind of pointing to the same thing. A lot of different companies seem to realize. And you were saying before, you know, Microsoft has been in this this arena already, but Apple is going for smart cars. Google, of course, we've always talked about them.
We talked a little bit about tech and scanning and the Kinect in the last episode. And I've said it before. I think I said it in the last episode that it's like when people were telling me that it was insane that Google was developing an autonomous car, I says, no, that's the next logical step for them. I says, Google is a search engine company in some respects, an advertising company, but they're rapidly becoming a software company as well. And they're directly competing with Microsoft, and they've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
So it made perfect sense to me that they were going into an autonomous car. And like you said, Microsoft's been in it for a while with the software, right?
Well, it makes sense to me. I don't know why they haven't done it sooner, but why not have an Android control panel in your car that uses Google Maps? You know, I mean, the software is all there. They just have to pretty much put a little mini tablet in your dashboard that has Google Maps. And I mean, I guess you would want to lock it down so people aren't driving and trying to do Angry Birds at the same time.
The one that we got all kinds of stuff in the cars now in terms of tech. We got the LCD displays. Now, the one that I don't understand why it didn't stick around, I actually had a car with one, heads-up displays.
Yeah.
I had a Nissan.
I'm worried that you're going to be looking at that rather than the road.
But it wasn't like that. It just put the speed and the odometer on. You didn't have to look down to the dashboard.
Yeah,
it was on the windshield.
Looking away, I think that they just were like, oh, that's a distraction without really looking at the technology. You know, I mean, either way, you're looking away. And then your radio output, you know, the station number, things like that being down the lower right, you have to look away even more. I mean, just having it up there to where you don't necessarily have to
look through it, actually.
Yeah, because at least if it's in front of you, like, and something jumps out in front of you, you're more likely to see it.
You can see through it. That's the thing with heads-up display.
Yeah.
You can actually look past it. You know, it looks like an LED display.
Like I was saying earlier in the show, I am all for heads-up displays. I think putting more information in your field of view while you still don't have to look away, while you can look through it, the semi-translucent type and things like that. I think our eyes are capable of processing a lot of information quickly, provided we don't have to move our eyes too far. Like, if we have to turn your head to look at something, that's going to create a circumstance where you can't see it as well because you have to look away from your current field of view.
Well, I think, okay, number one, these are three related stories we're discussing. I'm just going to get the headlines out of the way right quick. From Ars Technica, Ford drops Microsoft will use BlackBerry's real-time OS for NextSync, which is interesting. From The Verge, Google launches the Android-based Open Automotive Alliance with Audi, Honda, GM, and more.
That's Audi.
Well, Audi, okay. And then from The Guardian, Apple CarPlay debuts with Ferrari, Mercedes-Benz, and Volvo. And, so we got three software companies in this instance in cars now, right now, currently, correct?
I'd argue that Apple is a hardware company, but it's the same idea.
Well, there's software companies in this market. That's why I use that in this context.
Fair enough.
That's all. And one of the articles, the one about Google, also says that the companies don't seem to be taking side because I guess some GM cars have one OS, some have another. But so what do we got now? We've got the Microsoft, which has been embedded in cars forever.
In a lot of the Ford cars up until now, I guess.
No, I'm not talking about the interactive portion of it. Microsoft has got a lot of software that runs your computer and everything.
Yeah, there are a lot of internal computers in motor vehicles nowadays that regulate everything from fuel flow and airflow and monitor the different systems.
It was that niche market that I was saying made sense for Google to do an autonomous car. Because what do you think runs a Google car? Some Google OS, all right?
Yeah.
Now that we've got three of them in this connect with your phone market, well, which is,
I think it's exciting to realize that more and more navigational software is going to be available to your average car user. I think this is ultimately a good thing because, you know, like one of the biggest issues that we can fix with technology that, you know, comes up when you're trying to drive a vehicle is how do I get from point A to point B? How do I do it most efficiently? How do I do it in the fastest time? And so on and so on. So I think that as technology becomes more and more integrated into the automotive experience, it's a good thing ultimately because it gives you the opportunity to be A, more efficient and, you know.
Less than 10 years from now, I can see it where your car is going to drive you to work. In Japan, Tokyo, they have grid-connected cars. EVOs, I think they're called. But in either case, we talked about this before when we were talking about automation. The car in these Japanese urban-based cars can actually drive you to work, drive back home, take the kids to school, get the wife, take her shopping, and then go back to work at the end of the day to pick you up. The steering wheels are optional. Okay, so I can see it happening that way. Now, you've got this social connection with your phone, because phone's a social device.
It's ultimately a communication device, yeah.
Social communication. But now you've got your browsing history in your phone. They know who you've talking to. They know what you're listening to.
They know where you are.
And they know where you are. Beacon. And there's a billboard on the side of the road that can now target you.
Well, have you ever seen, what was the name of that movie? It was a Tom Cruise movie with the precogs. What was that movie called?
The Bourne Identity?
No.
That was the one where they were seeing the crimes before they happened.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Oh, it's like on the tip of my tongue.
Something principle or something like, I mean, it was something about the concept where they could predict the future, but there was always a fail safe.
Minority Report?
Minority Report. That's the one.
So the Minority Psychic.
Well, but in the Minority Report feature, they, at one point, Tom Cruise is running around like a mall, and they do the Gap or something does an optical scan on him and puts an image of him on their billboard wearing like the newest, you know, sweater vest or whatever BS they're trying to sell him. And it's interesting that like, you know, maybe 10, 12 years ago when this movie came out, this was like this far-fetched idea that advertising is going to be that targeted. But nowadays with our phone and things like that, this isn't nearly as big of a jump nowadays as it was back then.
So what I can picture is doing some sort of, I guess with the windows of your car, having some sort of a refresh rate or something that cancels out or just where they can have this, whatever show in your car, like you're, when you look at a billboard, you see something different than the car next to you, right?
Oh, like altered right on your windshield.
Not necessarily. I mean, they could display at different refresh rates, kind of like what you do with the 3D. You know, they have right. where one eye seeing one frequency, and the other eye seeing, you know, another one, and so that allows you to see something in 3D. They could almost do something that with the mobile technology, or you know, with your car window to make it so. All right, they're showing a couple different ads on the billboard at once.
Right.
Your vehicle screen is allowing you to see the one billboard.
It's crazy.
They will do that. And I say this, I mean, we don't even think about overlay technology that they use in sports anymore. It's like you always see those ads right behind the batter during the baseball games, right?
Yeah.
Their ads aren't there.
Yeah, they're piped in ads. TV markets.
Those ads are not there at the stadium.
Now, to be fair, different ads are present at the stadium that advertisers paid for in reality. But it's interesting that the TV market gets a different ad.
Well, but those right behind the batter's box, that's where all the photographers are. behind a cyclone
sometimes fence. It depends on the structure, but like a lot of those places actually have an ad bar right there. Because the people who paid to advertise within the stadium didn't pay for TV time, they put a TV time ad on top of it.
Likely to have a local company advertise in the stadium. That what's the point of advertising them nationally if they're not?
If they're only in one area.
It is amazing though that I mean, think of the connectivity and how far it's going to go, because now you're in your car and you've got a smart fridge and a smart oven, and your oven and your car knows where you're going. You know where you're going. Your dinner can literally be ready for you automatically when you get home. The replicator's not far behind that, I'm sure.
Oh, I can't wait. Put the matter together.
Yeah. The food replicator from Star Trek will eventually become a reality. But I know this connectivity with the smart cars, we've now got three major players at least with this type of integration, right?
Well, the three major players that have anything to do with mobile technology. I mean, Apple, Google, and Microsoft. Who else really? And now BlackBerry, which is always up and down, but they're kind of taking over the Ford side of it.
Well, will Amazon get into it next?
I mean, possibly. When's Amazon going to make their own car? You know, at what point?
Or phone, even.
But, you know,
they'll likely make a phone before they make a car.
But yeah. Then if the phone is supported by your car, you got the integration. Okay.
Maybe you could just order it on Amazon.
And how long before open source makes its way into this type of aspect of the car? I was listening to one of the Linux podcasts that I listened to, I can't remember which, and there's an Nginx project where...
To design an open source internal combustion engine?
No, it's actually active project. It's one of the platforms that you can use to run your modify your engine, your car computer. Because almost every car made today has a CPU.
It's true.
And, you know, like I said, Microsoft was a big one in that market. They pretty much had it locked up forever. But now Nginx is another one in that market. And you have, and Nginx is open source. Okay.
Hack your car.
Well, people are already doing it. I've already seen, how it'll say fasten seatbelt and ding. You can hack that to make it say, you know, idiot, strap yourself in. Stuff like that's already being done. So I'd be interested to see when the open source hits this integration type of software that they're putting in your car, because that's separate from the CPU that runs your engine. And then the next thing you'll see, and you've already read about proof of concepts and stuff and heard about it, taking over somebody's car.
Yeah.
Literally hacking their car.
I know the police force wouldn't mind something like that. High speed chase, kill switch.
They're gonna have that.
Well, and I've seen that they've had that, some sort of a device that they can like aim at the car and it actually kills the computer in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called an electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah.
I mean, they do. They have targeted little EMPs.
But they've already shown that cars can be hacked that have Bluetooth. And they can go as far as giving you a false speedometer reading with hacks. Most of these are proofs of concepts. I don't think they're out in the wild. But control the brakes.
You never know if some maniac out there isn't playing that game.
I mean, supposedly, I remember reading about it. A hacker had a proof of concept, and he was going to demonstrate it. He announced it that for $20 of hardware, he could hack almost any car out there that had Bluetooth.
That's insane.
$20. So yeah, somebody's going to get a hold of that, and that will be one of the challenges. Okay, number one, privacy is going to be an issue because people could now your phone's connected with your car, and people they were talking about car to car networks a long time ago, peer to peer networks with cars, because that's part of how these EVOs in Tokyo and Japan work. They know, like, let's say all three of us are on a congested city street in Tokyo. Brian, you've got an appointment in 5 minutes. Eric and I don't have to be worked for, let's say, another half hour. Now, the network of cars your car's going the most direct route. And anybody who can take an extra 10 minutes and not be late, their car's going that route. So you can't have that kind of connectivity without, like, well, now Hacker Lumpy spent $20 and he just took all of Eric's contacts.
Well, yeah. It seems like there's a lot of opportunity for badness in that, though. Like, oh, you want to get to work 10 minutes faster? Well, please click here and pay 99 cents.
There is that potential. There's also the potential that some terrorist hacker group could just cause a huge, massive pileup on the freeway
and by knocking up everybody's off a cliff
or just shut everybody's car down in an entire city and invade.
Yeah.
We've always had that fear of the pulse, you know, that's going to take out, you know, the China or some
EMP.
EMP and take out a whole city. That hasn't happened yet, though.
Most people don't realize. Most people don't realize that was one of the big reasons we pushed to fiber optics for our key networks.
Yeah, it's way harder to fry it.
In 1980, when I was taking high school physics, I actually did a report on EMP. Now, one of the things with the EMP was it was really a pretty big topic in those days because they figured the Soviets knew about EMPs back in the 50s. We didn't notice the EMP phenomenon from a nuclear bomb. So in 1980, one nuclear warhead detonated 22 miles above the continental United States, would have hit 80% of it with a pulse and taken out all the communications. And the White House didn't even have fiber optics. It would have taken out the defense communication system, in theory. Okay?
And they don't want that.
They can't have that, no. But, with your car, yeah, but you see, now the thing is we don't have to worry about a pulse if they're all connected to a network that can be infected with, let's say, a virus.
Well, and I think once, you know, the first person loses their life, then it's going to be a huge court case.
It's going to be a huge court case, and then the technophobes will come out of the closet, you know, and be all up in arms, and then lawmakers will, you know, go with whatever side's most popular for votes. I don't know. The catch 22 with it, in my opinion, is we're covering these three stories about, what is it, CarPlay, Open Automotive Alliance, and BlackBerry, you know, OS for the next sync, and Microsoft is already in cars. We obviously all want this. Well, this has appeal to us. We like the idea. So I agree with Eric. A lot of bad can come out of this, but we still want it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's still cool. Don't get me wrong. Just because
I think they're going to have to kind of ease into it, though. I mean, that seems like that's what they're doing as far as they don't want to do it too much. Google wants to do a lot, but I think they're going to hold off just because it's kind of a, whoever does it first, there's a good chance that they're going to get the biggest lawsuit.
Well, we mentioned three with Ferrari, Mercedes-Benz, and Volvo for Apple CarPlay, but there's 13 more companies mentioned in the article as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many were in the Google. Is Google getting GM, Honda, Audi, Hyundai?
Hyundai.
Oh, and the other thing about Google is they're partnering with the chip maker, NVIDIA.
Yeah.
So they are, I guess, in that sense, they're more than just an OS and software.
Well, and that makes sense because NVIDIA is the one that's been really partnering with Linux, right?
Right.
So I'm assuming they're going to make a chip that is just really compatible with Android, which is Linux, right? So that does make sense. I mean, they just need to make – NVIDIA just needs to make their chips totally Linux compatible, and then it'll work on any Android device, portable device, or, you know, phones, anything. That really opens up their market for them.
Now, like you said, the first person killed is probably going to be a big lawsuit. Hopefully it's not going to – I mean, but you know what? You're going to have that. And you're going to have somebody, you know, watching a movie when they're driving now.
Oh, yeah. Someone's going to hack it. And like, oh, cool. I can watch TV now.
And then – well, but, you know, some of these lawsuits are just going to be stupid. Now, if – somehow the car can easily be hijacked because of a security flaw, that's going to be an ugly lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But, like, remember the woman with the Google Maps suing Google for the she did a on foot, and it took her across the freeway. So she tried to sue Google because she got hit. Okay, that's when Google started putting up that disclaimer.
Warning.
You know, this may not be the best path. Use some common sense.
Warning. If we tell you to cross the freeway, do it quickly and look both ways.
Yeah.
So Ford pulled the sink out, went with a BlackBerry.
I wonder if eventually...
Honda's already involved with Apple. Chevrolet...
I wonder if eventually that the choice of which OS you want on your internal
motor vehicle becomes
an option. Do you want the Apple integration or the Microsoft integration or the Google integration?
Now, you know, there's a good argument where this is where I would be in favor of a law that would say, hey, automakers, they get to pick their OS. Because by doing that, you immediately create a security factor.
Not all Fords are, you know, Google. Not all Hondas are Google.
So they got to figure out. So the hackers now got to worry about the app. Furthermore, if one's really crappy and really easily hacked, you can switch.
Yeah, you can just flash the system and get a new OS.
That's why I'm saying I would be in favor of a law or an idea like that. But I mean, we want this technology, but I'm telling you, it's going to be a. And then you know. I think it's kind of interesting that Tokyo, or not necessarily Tokyo, but Tokyo is one of the urban areas, with these automated cars that they have, the steering wheel is actually optional, which they don't seem to be worried about the security with that system.
There was an article that I was looking at, and I should have put it in the Google, but I remembered it after we finished. But Google has this new modular smartphone they're looking at putting on, that they're going to be putting out, to where they're pretty much putting the core of the phone, I think like $50, and then you can purchase plug-in modules for the phone to make it do what you want and upgrade the chips and things.
Yeah, they picked that phone up when they purchased Motorola.
Yeah.
And then when they sold Motorola, they hung on to the division that was developing that. I read an article about that.
So, I mean, this is something where, imagine, you know, the technology, you can almost choose your graphics processor, your CPU. It's pretty cool.
That reminds me of one of my first electronic calculators. I'm not kidding. You remember, you know what Nixie tubes are?
I heard the word tubes, which
do you guys know what Nixie tubes are?
No.
Did you ever see, like, the old gas pumps where they had tubes that did the digital display?
You mean what the...
They glowed.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, somehow.
Okay. TI-55C actually had Nixie tubes and not LEDs, the old ones. But then one of the newer ones I got, 55C, at one point in time, TI used to actually sell chips you could plug into the back of your calculator. So they had one chip for physics. They had another chip for engineering. They had another chip for mathematics. They had chips that, you know, these were programmable calculators, some of the very first. But you could customize your calculator. So you're going to be able to customize your car now, okay? We're going to be hacking. We're going to be jailbreaking our coffee makers.
And hacking each other's cars. Welcome to the future.
Yeah, I'm just kind of worried about bricking your car.
That seems like a bad thing.
Well, you remember when they first started putting LED displays and stuff in the dashboard instead of the old manual meters and stuff? Some of those cars you couldn't give a jump.
No.
Because you could possibly burn out the dashboard light. The dashboard
fried. Fried the electronics. Oopsie-daisy. Yeah.
Shit, man. Shit.
I think they've gotten better at padding those electrical systems. Well,
that's okay now, but when they first came out, I remember, you know, that's a problem, right? You can't jump-start your car.
Sounds pretty funny, actually.
Minor oversight from engineering, right?
Oops, we didn't try them in the Arctic market.
Well, you know, engineers make mistakes, too. Don't think. I mean, look at how, you know, NASA managed to hit Mars. Liters, gallons, meters, feet.
Yeah, whatever.
But I just think that this is going to happen, and this is going to happen quicker than we think. I think this is going to happen quicker than the average person thinks. Because it's already happening in, like, Japan. Now, their culture is a little bit different and more accepting in that type of
stuff.
They're
typically quicker to adopt tech.
But the mobile market is where it's at, and you move your mobile device usually with your car. Okay? I could also see where public transportation in the future is going to have a little screen on the head thing in front of you. And it's going to be customized to you. You'll plug into the bus.
I mean, they're doing that in airports nowadays. Most airplanes have, or at least international airplanes have like, you know, an interface for you to play with.
You're going to look at your phone to know where the bus is.
That and the Megabus. The Megabus does stuff like that. Yeah. The Megabus has a power outlet, so you can, and then onboard Wi-Fi networks. I actually saw a photo on Facebook from a friend of mine who was like riding in the back seat and on a long drive, and they just put their cruise control to match speed with the Megabus so that they could steal their Wi-Fi network on the road.
Wow!
Oopsie daisy, open Wi-Fi.
Wow. That's great. That's classic.
I mean, I think that, like, there was something really funny. They posted a photo while they were driving of, like, Wi-Fi enabled bus, and they're sitting right next to it in traffic.
What were we saying
driving
about,
on the freeway?
What were we saying about being distracted earlier?
Well, to be fair, he was riding passenger, well, and not driver, but, like, he totally stole their Wi-Fi network, which is really interesting to me. Be like, yeah, we're totally watching Netflix now.
What were you doing when you had your accident, sir? I was trying to hack into the Wi-Fi.
I mean, there was a bus right next to me whose Wi-Fi network was open, so, you know, I figured I'd get some emailing done.
A little porn.
You know, maybe watch a couple of movies.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. Like, you showed me the photo on Facebook had the Wi-Fi symbol, you know, that international little wave sign thing. With the, you know, it was really funny.
I mean, but the other thing is, I don't think people today understand just how integrated everything's going to be. I remember reading years ago already, smart microwave. Okay. Now that may not seem like much, but it can automatically get updated recipes off the network. Okay. Now, not only that, you can call it with your phone and tell it when you're going to be home. And it's also a refrigerator. So what you basically do is before you leave for work, you put whatever you're going to have from the freezer in the compartment that would prepare it, right? And it's done when you get home. You're going to be like, we're going to be picking up our Android, or in your case, your iPhone. And I'm going to be like, was I out of milk? And I'm going to dial my fridge, and my smart fridge is going to know which smart pitcher I got my milk in, and it's going to say, you have 1 quart left, sir.
And that's something they've been teasing for a while, the whole smart fridge. But the smart microwave, smart oven makes a lot more sense to where, you know, if there's a way, as you said, that they could make it to where it's a refrigerator as well, and then it starts cooking it.
Maytag already.
I can't wait until we have a robot who will be like, okay, I'll take that quart of milk and this dozen eggs, and I'll start baking the cake for you and pop it in the oven, you know, right before you get home.
There was
dinner ready.
There was an engineer here in the 70s that built this huge robot that would actually go get his groceries and back. He also had, like, just totally, totally geek engineer.
If he was building robots in the 70s, I mean, come on.
He used to be on the local, like, morning shows and news shows, like, a couple times a year. And he built his whole house even so that the patio would swing into the living room and vice versa. Or it would rotate around this double-sided fireplace even. Yeah, I just really... But this type of thing, forgive me for digressing off of it. It just, you know... The smart fridge is one thing. Maytag already makes washers and dryers and appliances that can connect to the network. And it's not connected, but it sends service reports to the technicians so they can tell the consumer over the phone what
what's wrong.
Not only that, yeah. If they need a repairman, he already knows what part to bring.
That seems kind of convenient.
Okay, so I just don't think...
just hope they don't start putting O2 sensors.
And with what we talked about, well, smart thermostats are already, you know, in the news. But think about what we were talking about earlier. You're in your car. Now, you can get a menu from Google. You can also, potentially in the near future, you're going to get an inventory for your fridge. They could have your groceries pulled at the distribution center, because I think this is where... I'm not sure how long brick and mortar is going to survive in the traditional sense. It's going to be around for a long while. But I can see the point where it's a distribution center run by Amazon, because Amazon's getting into food already. But you're going to pull into Amazon, and the robot's going to bring your whole complete order, everything you need, from the distribution center right to your car.
I mean, we're going to re-enter the days of the milkman, except it's going to be a robot from Amazon.
Or a drone.
Yeah. Digital milkman.
Yeah, they are getting a lot closer to that. The whole grocery delivery business, that's something in the major cities they're doing. They did test it here in, like, our Albertsons, which is a local company. They tested the same kind of technology to where you can make an order online and they would deliver it the next day.
And the reason I think it's going to happen quicker than later is there's a huge amount of money to be made off of that type of distribution. Now, furthermore, even like right now, I buy a bag of cat food from Amazon, and Amazon asked me at the time I purchase it, "We estimate you will run out of this in 2 months. Would you like to set this up for auto order?" So now with the smart technology integrated into this, Amazon will be able to tell you when you're low on cat food, when you're at their distribution center, even if you forgot it on your list.
Wow.
Think about it, though. That's why it's going to happen. Can you imagine the money that these companies can make? We're talking about getting a right ad in front of the consumer, that type of stuff. You know, the other part of it that's kind of scary, it is awfully Big Brotherish. They're going to know exactly where you're at all times. Your inventory is going to be going over the net. So what you even own is obtainable. The upside of that is hopefully they would, you know, notice if you're buying a large quantity of fertilizer quicker and other appropriate things to make some type of huge bomb to take out an FBI center or something like that. But
well, and hopefully, I don't know if you'd be using a grocery delivery service to deliver your bomb supplies. Hopefully not.
Well, but in the future, everything's going to be electronic, so you're going to have to order that stuff. You know, or when you're ordering, even if you drive up to the hardware store and buy it, they're going to know when you scan your card.
Yeah, that's one of those things that it seems like it's inching towards that, to where, you know, what we have is grocery stores right now are going to go away. You're going to still have those. I guess it's like there's certain stores around here that have really high prices, but, you know, you generally don't go buy things there.
Well, Amazon,
you need it right now.
Amazon Prime in certain major cities has already started a food delivery.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you're going to have pretty much Walmart and then Amazon are going to be your two sources of getting food.
And Google's on eventually. Sorry, yeah, Google's not going to leave those markets untouched.
They may find an area, not food, but everything else.
Google seems to do a better... think of the recent tech giants. They all fall sooner or later. But right now, what do we got? We got Apple, we got Microsoft, let's say. We've got... And I'm talking about consumer, not business to business necessarily. Let's just stick with the consumer, business to consumer. You got Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, and those companies are trying to get into each other's markets all the time in a different way, shape, or form. And in my opinion, Google seems to be the best at it, because people used to say Google's just a search engine company. You can't say that anymore. And furthermore, Google's into everything. Does Microsoft have an autonomous car project? Does Amazon?
I mean,
not that I know of.
Microsoft just recently hired a new CEO, so we have no idea what the new directions that the CEO is going to bring, to be fair.
Well, but what I'm saying is, I still think Google is the best of the tech giants right now in terms of jumping into new markets and doing things that completely surprise you.
Well, they seem to be relatively fearless and willing to make mistakes. I remember they used to have a 5%, and I think they've subsequently stopped this, but like 5% of the time you spend on the clock, you should be just playing and developing new ideas. And
they're called 20% projects.
20% projects? 20%.
They still have them. Okay. Is that correct, isn't it, Brian? 20% projects?
Yeah.
And they still have them, and I think that's where the car came from.
Yeah, it's an awesome idea. Just like try to develop new ideas.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind, though, they are succeeding at it. I remember back in the 80s when I studied business management, they used to talk about Sony as an innovative company. They produced over one prototype per day back in those days. But Sony's been floundering lately.
It's amazing.
Well, like I said, none of them are going to be around forever. Brian, do you remember CompuServe?
I remember CompuServe. They might have been my first internet provider when I was a kid.
And do you remember that, you know, when it was AOL or nothing, everybody, AOL was going to own everything everybody was saying? You know, you never know.
See, well, now when I first got on the internet, we had to
we had to
dial up to Micron, you know, the Micron, the memory maker. So we would dial in with our modem to that, and then we had to write a script that would watch for the authentication prompts. So that you would see when it was asking for a login, and then you would send it the username. You'd see it prompt for a password. And then you'd have to initiate the TCP/IP connection. And it used to be a lot more difficult to get on the internet.
Well, I remember before the internet, I'm talking like dial-up days, bulletin boards. You talk about making it a lot more difficult. I had a baseball card binder, three-ring. That had, you know, a sheet of paper in it for each of the different bulletin boards I would have to connect to with the information, login information. Yeah. And we're talking.
You actually had to have your phone number, your username, your password.
Yep. 200 baud, baby. Flying.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I had like a 15-second max headroom screensaver for my Commodore. It took me like all of overnight to download it. hey, we're over, Brian. Is your wife standing over there looking over you?
Not yet. I'm not in trouble quite yet.
Okay, well, let's do the contact information and get out of here then. Because, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, do you have anything else to say about the cars? I mean, we went off on this, but I think that was a good dialogue, personally.
Yeah, no, I think that we're going to be having, I mean, this is something that's an emerging technology, so I'm sure we'll have plenty to cover once they actually start releasing. Once Google releases something, I think that's when it's going to take off.
Sounds reasonable.
That's critical mass litmus test.
Yeah.
It seems like a reasonable one.
You've been listening to Indie Nation Tech Net News and Opinion, which is recorded live every Monday night at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you would like to get involved and participate, hit us up at 818-81-INDIE or news@indienation.fm. More news for you at the top of the hour, listeners.